We're going to get the Bible open. That's the important thing that we're going to do today. Matthew chapter 3. We've been going through Matthew's Gospel together. Matthew chapter 3. We're up to just a very short reading today, but actually a deeply significant story in Matthew's Gospel. So Matthew chapter 3, if you haven't got a Bible, please just wave a hand in the air. Don't be embarrassed about that. There's some guys poised to bring you one. It's really important that we have a Bible in front of us. Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 13. Actually, do you mind if I know it's not on your sheets if you've got those sheets, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses before because it helps us to just flow into where we've got to. So I'm going to read from verse 11. Some words of John the Baptist where he says, I baptize with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let's pray, shall we? And then think about this together. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life and it is truth. And Father, some of us this morning read in James that we're not to be like people who look in a mirror and then go away and forget what we're like. But Father, as we look into the mirror of your word today, would we not just be hearers, but would we be doers of your word, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you just look back down with me at verse 17, little number 17 there. And I just want you to take these words in, okay? Take them, drink deeply of them. Really soak this up for a second. A voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. These are words from heaven. That's a pretty miraculous thing in itself, isn't it? These are words from heaven, and they are about Jesus. These are words from the Father, God the Father, about his loved and precious and delighted in Son. And as we sit here with these words in front of us this morning, can I say to you that what we're getting is a little window in this little phrase, in these words from heaven, we are getting a little window into the love and the security and the assurance of heaven's home life. We are getting a little glimpse this morning into the relationship that exists inside heaven's royal family. A father who loves his son, who takes ownership of his son. This is my son. You sense that love and that protectiveness and that security and that ownership of his son. This is a father who loves his son with the strongest of bonds. This is a father who is delighted, who smiles at his son, who's joy-filled at his son. With him, I am well pleased. I am delighted. I am filled with joy. I don't know if you ever played that game as a kid, Happy Families, the card game. Do you ever play that? Well, friends, this morning, here is the happiest of families. A father and a son who delights his father and a father who's overjoyed at his son. This is heaven's royal family. This is heaven's home life that we just for a split second are getting a lovely window as this voice comes from heaven. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? If you pause to think about it, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And friends, the reason I start there this morning is I want to say to you that it is this family, this righteous, royal family, this loving, secure, assured family, heaven's family, that the Lord Jesus invites us to belong to. It is this family, this loving, joy-filled family, this secure family, this family of great protectiveness and delight that many of us in this room now belong to. This is our family. This is our father. This is our older brother. This is the family to which we've been called to belong. Over us, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, this is mind-blowing, but God the Father looks on this room of people, if you are trusting Jesus this morning, and what does he say about us? These are my sons, and these are my daughters, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. But how? How can it be that people like us, filthy sinners, can be turned into sons and daughters in the royal family of heaven? How can sinners become sons? How can kind of rebels become royals? How is it that filth, if I can use that word, because that's the baptism picture of dirt and stain, how can filth become family? How can people who have nothing in us that makes God delight in us, how can we possibly move from the place of God despairing of us to God delighting in us? And I want to say that that's what this little story of Jesus getting baptized is all about. This story of Jesus and John and the baptism gets us to the very heart of the gospel. And we talk about this thing, the gospel, this good news. Well, what is that good news? Well, this story of Jesus' baptism is short, but it's packed with gospel. It is packed with information and glorious picture of how it is that sinners can move to become sons, enacted in this baptism, in the symbolism of Jesus going down into the water. And coming back up out of the water is a dramatic picture of what Jesus came into this world to do. To rescue repentant rebels and make us righteous royals. Children in the royal family. And I want to try and just capture it like this morning if I can. This is a bit of a long-winded sentence. I'm sorry about that. But let me just try and put it like this. And then we're going to try and unpack this morning, okay? Sinners become sons. That's a preacher's thing, by the way. I do include ladies in that, but it's an S. Sinners become sons as they come to heaven's loved son who shared what is ours so that we can share what is his. Now, don't worry if you didn't get that. That's what we're going to go through today. Sinners can become sons. Rebels can become royals in the family as they come to heaven's loved son who shared what is ours so that we can share what is his. That's the message of this very brief story of Jesus' baptism. So let me just take us through the passage. First, I want to show you that sinners become sons as Jesus shares what is ours. Just look at me at verse 13. This is where the story begins. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus, you'll remember if you've been with us over the past few weeks, Jesus lived up in Nazareth, which is in the north, and he travels down to the Jordan. He makes a journey south. He makes a journey to this crowd of people. Jesus comes to the place where crowds of people were lining up, confessing their sins and being baptized. So just cast an eye back up to chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This is what we did at the All Age with the kids last week. Verse 5, people went out to John the Baptist from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Just try and picture this scene, okay? Big crowds of people. What were they seeking? They were seeking rightness. They were seeking a right relationship with God. That's what the Bible calls righteousness, rightness before God. And as they come, John was calling people to repent. God is on his way. The kingdom of heaven, the royal family is drawing near, and you've got to get ready. And so there's these crowds of people hungering after rightness before God, seeking righteousness. And as they were coming, they were confessing their sins, turning from their sins, and they were turning to God, saying, please, Lord, we need your help. We need a cleansing. We need a washing here if we are going to be right. Here is a crowd of people who are seeking a rightness that takes you right into the center of God's royal family, of his acceptance, of his love. And onto this scene, it's a remarkable thing. And I really want you to work hard at picturing this. Crowds of people who needed baptism, who needed to confess sins. And then onto this scene walks Jesus. Jesus, heaven's loved son. Onto this scene walks the one, verse 11, which is why I read from there, that John said was coming, one more powerful than anyone else, one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is heaven's loved son. If you've been with us in Matthew's gospel, this is the one who was going to save his people from their sins. This is the one who would rule with righteousness and lead God's people. Jesus had come. Jesus was standing shoulder to shoulder with these crowds of people who needed to confess their sins, who needed to be baptized, who needed, as it were, to enter into the water. And one of the pictures of baptism is kind of entering under the judgment of God. So picture water has multiple pictures with it, doesn't it? But one of the things that's symbolized as you go down into the waters is that you deserve the judgment of God. Think about the Red Sea as it came crashing down on top of the Egyptians, crashing down on those who deserve God's judgment. And that's what's pictured in baptism. And so as people were going down into this water, they're saying, I deserve God's judgment. But it's also a picture of cleansing and washing and wiping away the sins stains of my sins. So you got these two pictures, and crowds of people were coming, and Jesus, perfect, heaven's loved son, stands shoulder to shoulder with everyone in this crowd. He stands with them, sharing this moment, sharing in what should be everybody else's in that crowd. Identifying himself with them. See, look at verse 14. He comes up. It's his turn. He's getting closer and closer to the water, standing with these crowds of people, ordinary people like you and me. And he comes to the edge of the water, and look at verse 14. But John says, you know, actually, look, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Jesus, why are you here? You see, John tries to deter him. John recognizes in Jesus that this is the one that God said he would send. This is the one who's going to save sinners. This is the one who's going to make people righteous. And he says, I need something from you. You're heaven's loved son. He's looking at him. You're the powerful one who's to come. You're the one who's going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You don't need to be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus' replies is quite remarkable. Look at verse 15. Jesus replied, let it be so now. This is the time. This is the moment. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus says to John, I must be baptized. I must share in this moment with the crowds. I must submerse myself in this water. I must share what is yours. The plan, Jesus says, the plan to bring righteousness, the plan to move people from sinners to sons, from rebels to royals, the plan of righteousness depends upon Jesus first sharing what is ours, sharing in what we deserve, taking what we deserve. And so John agrees, and Jesus, and please get this, because we've read verse 17 to start with, the heaven's loved Son, the Son who is pleasing to God in every way, steps down into the water and symbolically is immersed in the judgment of God and the washing away of sins. He shares what everyone in that crowd around him so badly needed. Jesus shares in what is ours, not because he deserved to, not because he had to, but because he chose to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill what is right. Friends, the symbolism of this moment, and please picture it, Jesus going down into the water, and coming back up again, in the symbolism of this moment, we're pointed to the much bigger story that's going on in Matthew's gospel. Jesus, who didn't just make a journey from Galilee to the Jordan to share with a crowd of people, but who made a journey from heaven to earth to share in what is ours. Jesus shares our humanity. Jesus knows what it is to be you. In every way, he shares what is ours. Hebrews tells us that he was made like us in every way, and yet was without sin. He shared our humanity. He shared in everything that we are. He had to learn to walk and talk, and he had to learn to obey his parents, and he had to learn to his skills for his job as a carpenter. He really was like us. He shared our humanity. But as he shares our humanity, he is then able to share the punishment that we deserve for our sins. At the cross, Jesus shared what is ours. He shared in the punishment that we deserve, even though he'd done nothing wrong. He says, I'll share with you in that. I'll take that for you. He comes near. He comes and shares what is ours. Jesus, the loved Son, the loved, pleasing Son of heaven, came into this world to share what is rightfully ours, the judgment of God at our sins, to share our humanity, to share our sufferings, to share our baptism, and to share our judgments. You see how that works itself out? That's what's going on at the baptism. Jesus shares what is ours, but why does he do it? And if you're switching off, this is where I want you to wake up. Why does he do it? This, so that we can share what is rightfully his. Just look with me at verse 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." What is it? Think about this for a moment. What is it that belongs to Jesus that he then shares with us? What is it that he says, okay, now this is yours. I've taken what's yours, and now you can have what's mine. What is it that he does it? Well, I want to suggest that there's three things, three glorious things that Jesus shares with us. And the first is this, open access to heaven. Many of you might not know this, but there's actually a third floor on this building on the other side, which is where some of us guys work in the week. But the problem with that floor is that you need a special key to get up there. And one time I was working upstairs, and I was on my desk, and I put my keys down on my desk, and I had to go downstairs to get something, but I left my keys on the desk. So as I came back up to the top floor, I was like, oh, I can't get in. And no one else was in. So I was stuck. These keys were on my desk. Access to the top floor was shut off because I did not have my keys with me. And actually, the Bible tells us that for the rebel against God, heaven is closed. It would be like running up to the top floor and trying to grab the door. Heaven is not open to us. Heaven's household, heaven's family is not available to us. There's something that is pictured for us as you go through the Bible. Adam and Eve are banished from the garden. They're sent away from God. Their sin means that Eden, heaven, was closed from them. They couldn't get back in. God, as he dwells with his people in the tabernacle, as then the tabernacle turns into a temple, he dwells with his people, but they couldn't come too close. There was a big curtain, a sort of a big keep-out sign. Heaven is closed, God says to sinners. You can't come near. Heaven, the home of God itself, is closed by nature to you and to me because we are sinners. But as we come to Jesus, what we discover is that heaven is not closed to him. Heaven's loved son has open access to heaven. You see, just look at verse 17 with me. As he comes up out of the water, at that moment, heaven was opened. Heaven kind of rips open, as it were. Heaven is open to Jesus. That is what is his. That is his right. He is the son of heaven. It's his home. It's where he lives. It's where he belongs. It's where his father is. And Jesus, as he comes and shares what is ours, as he immerses himself in our judgment, as he takes upon himself what we deserve, as heaven for a moment in time is shut off to him. Think about the cross for a moment. Think about the darkness. Think about his words. My God, why have you forsaken me? What happened? As he bore our sin, heaven closed to him for a moment. But why? So that he could share with us what is his. So that heaven would be open to you and me. That's the glory of the gospel. He shares with us his open access to heaven. The moment Jesus died on the cross, many of you will know the story where the curtain in the temple, the curtain that said that heaven's closed, tears in half. Heaven is open to people like us because that's what Jesus shares with us. And friend, I want to assure you this morning or invite you to know that heaven is open to you as you come to Jesus. It's open to you in prayer. People talk about prayers bouncing off the ceiling, don't they? Can I tell you that if you are a follower of our Lord Jesus, your prayers do not bounce off the ceiling because heaven is open to you. That is what he has shared with you. Open access to heaven. As I come to the loved Son, as I put my hope in him, what does he share with me? Well, heaven's open to me when I die. Heaven is open to me as I pass through the doorway of death. Heaven is open to me because Jesus has shared with me his open access to heaven. He took what is mine that I might share what is his. But he also gives us the Holy Spirit. He shares with us what is his. Look again, will you please, at verse 16. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. As Jesus comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. Now, we could over coffee have a kind of talking about that. You know, what does that mean? Why a dove? All those kind of things. It's loaded with kind of big Bible imagery. It's an amazing thing. But just let's point out the obvious thing for a moment. The Holy Spirit was another member of heaven's loved royal family. The Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. He is the third member of heaven's loved royal family. And as he comes down, there is this affirmation, isn't there, that Jesus really is part of this loved and royal family. And repeatedly in the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes down, as it were, on people to equip them to do a particular task. So if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that the Holy Spirit comes on people to help them kind of win a battle or to do a certain thing. And the Holy Spirit comes on Jesus here because Matthew doesn't want us to miss that Jesus is the one who's come to do a special job. Jesus is the one empowered by heaven, helped by heaven to turn sinners into sons, to turn filth into family. That's what he's come to do. Listen to these words from Isaiah 42. Big promise of God. He says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." The spirit coming on Jesus is significant because it says, this is the one you're waiting for. This is the one who's going to help you. This is the one who's going to move you from filth to family. You see, as the loved and perfect Son of Heaven, Jesus receives the Spirit in this moment. It's an indication that as he shares what is mine, he shares with us what is his. He shares with me the Holy Spirit. See, look at chapter 3, verse 11 again. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." You can only give away what's yours, can't you? My children tried to give away what's mine, which is fine. It's theirs as well, really. But we can only give what's ours. And as Jesus comes into this world and he promises to give the Holy Spirit, he can only give it because it's his to give. He can only share the Holy It. I called it an it, didn't I? Yeah, you can tell me off now. He can only share him because it's from him. The Holy Spirit is through him. See, Jesus shares with repentant rebels the gift of the Spirit. And please, again, just slow down and think about this morning. What does he share with us? He shares with us the spirit of sonship. That's what he's called in Romans. The Spirit who adopts us into God's family, who is our seal, as it were, saying, you really are in heaven's royal family. He shares with us the Spirit who is the spirit of a seal guaranteeing our future home in heaven. That's what he has shared with you if you've come to him. The Spirit who says, you're mine. Like an engagement ring or a wedding ring, the Spirit is upon us as a guarantee that heaven is open to you. The Spirit is the one who equips us for obedience. I have no chance on my own of living how God wants me to live. But with the Spirit, I have his help to live how God wants me to live, to produce in me that fruit which doesn't come naturally to me that we were thinking about with the kids. I have the Spirit in me who wars with the flesh. Galatians talks about him warring. You know, so you know when you, if you're a believer here this morning, you'll know that tension in your heart sometimes of wanting to do one thing, but God's kind of word, God's Spirit telling you to do something else, and there's a war going on in your heart. That's the Spirit. And Jesus is the one who shares with us what is his, the Holy Spirit, to help us to live how God wants us to live. So he shares with us his open access to heaven. He shares with us the Holy Spirit. And I think most gloriously this morning, he shares with us a place in the family. Can we come back to where we started? Verse 17. "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That is a declaration over Jesus that he belongs to heaven's royal family. This is a declaration of the Father's ownership, that he is pleasing in every way. And can I tell you this morning that that is what Jesus shares with us. As we come to Jesus, for all those who've come and have repented of our sins, for all those who have turned to Jesus and let him share what is ours, this is what he shares with us, the privileged status of loved children of God. In Christ, God the Father declares over you this morning, and please hear this, because this is meant to kind of almost like a big cuddle for you this morning, okay? God says over you this morning, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you, I really love you, and I'm really pleased with you. There's nothing pleasing in ourselves, but what has Jesus shared with us? His pleasingness to God. He shares with us a place in heaven's household. This is not a declaration we deserve, friends, but it is a declaration that is given to us because Jesus shared what is ours so that we could share what is his. Listen to these words from 1 John. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that a glorious truth? Can I say to you, probably the thing that's grabbed me most this week, and if I was to just chuck away my sermon for a moment and just tell you one thing, here it is. What is most mind-blowing for me is that God looks at me with the same love that he has for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? In Christ, we are treated how Jesus deserves to be treated because that's what he shared with us. That is what he has given to us as he took what is mine. And so what are we to do with all this morning? Well, two things. First of all, can I just point you back to John? Look at verse 14. John says in verse 14, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. John understood something about Jesus. He understood that Jesus was the one whose help he so badly needed. And if you haven't already, then can I say to you this morning, please do a John. Say, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. I need you to share what is mine so that I can share what is yours. See, John kind of knew that, but he didn't get how Jesus was meant to do that. So you see, that's why he says, John, you can't do this, Jesus. But you see, eventually, look at verse 15, he consented. He said, Jesus, yes. And can I tell you this morning that as soon as you recognize that you need Jesus' help, then can I say to you that you have to roll with Jesus' plan? There can be no other way than letting him share what is yours at the cross so that you can share in what is his. Open access to heaven, the Holy Spirit, and a place in the family. Will you say to Jesus this morning, I need baptism, I need to be baptized by you, I need you to share what is mine so that I can share what is yours? And it'd be wrong to leave these weeks without saying to some of you that if you have not already, can I actually urge you to be water baptized? And the reason I would say that is it's a command of Jesus. At the very end of the gospel, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. You see, bound up in water baptism, which we do under here, is this amazing image of being kind of moved from sinners into sons. See, it says, baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's a picture that you now belong to the royal family, heaven's family. And so if you haven't been baptized, come and speak to me. I'd love to chat to you about that. We'd love to baptize you because that's a good thing. It's a Bible thing. And if you have been baptized and you are trusting Jesus, then can I say to you this morning, don't miss the joy and assurance that is ours, that in Christ you are really a loved and delighted in child of God who has open access to heaven. What a joy. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these great truths. We thank you that Jesus came and shared what is ours, that we might share what is his. We praise you for his grace and his love. We praise you for the open access we have to heaven. We praise you for the gift of the Spirit. And we marvel that we might be called children of you, the living God. Father, please move our hearts to joy. Please move our hearts to repentance. Please move our hearts to come to Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.